We are continuing our series on joy in the midst of trials. Joy in the midst of trials. Just doing some review from last week, we were talking about that suffering, endurance. Suffering produces endurance, perseverance, and patience. We said that these trials are designer trials. Meaning that they are designed specifically for your life by God to produce His result in your specific life. So endurance, perseverance, and patience under trial when it's in the fire, it is designed to produce spiritual benefit. How many want to be benefited spiritually? I know I do. It is designed to produce spiritual benefit for the children of God. We all going to have troubles, as we said before, but for the Christian, for the child of God, for the believer, it is beneficial for us. So even our troubles are good for us.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That's good news.
Amen, thank you, Lord.
And so having said that then, understanding that they are designed to produce spiritual benefit for us, then we are never to hinder the trial in any way. We use the term by a perverse spirit or by opposition to the will of God. We're to do nothing to limit it nor to weaken it, but let it have its full scope. As one writer said, if one affliction come upon the heels of another and a train of them are drawn upon us, yet let patience go on till its work is perfected. If a train of them come, so let us be patient until the work is perfected. Glory be to God. And then we said last week, everyone who is afflicted should desire that the effects of the affliction produce precisely the results that God wants the trial to produce. Because the trial is specifically designed for you. And as you go through it, it's going to produce that which God wants to accomplish. The last note from last week, when we bear all that God appoints, and as long as He appoints it, and with a humble, obedient eye to Him, and when we not only bear troubles but rejoice in them, then patience hath its perfect work. And what James is saying here, don't strive against it, right? Don't fight it. So having said that, let's go to James chapter 1, if you're not already there. James chapter 1. And let's read over our foundation text. James chapter 1. And look at verse 2. Reading from the ESV. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, perseverance, stick-to-itiveness. And let endurance, steadfastness, perseverance have its full effect, that you may be perfect and completed, lacking in nothing. That's grown man stuff. That's what that is. Let the work of God take place in our lives and embrace it and come to terms with it. And to be honest with you, if I just said that, if I just said, kept reviewing this, that part up to there, we need to hear that every day. Allow the work of God to take place in our lives embrace it and come to terms with it. Well, Lord, this is my lie. This is what I'm supposed to go through. Help me to embrace it. Help me find joy in this hardship because I need your help. And that's fine to ask that. Amen. We're humans living out a spiritual walk. It's not easy. It's a challenge, especially when the hardships come. And if a train of them come one after another, after another, after another, then it can be very difficult. But he is still saying in the midst of that, all kinds of trials, all types of trials coming at you staccato, he says, still rejoice. You can rejoice. Amen. I can rejoice. We can rejoice. And we went over examples. Jesus, he rejoiced. He embraced it and came to terms with it and said, yet not I, but your will be done. Amen. Matthew 26:39. Apostle Paul did. He said, in everything I've learned a secret. Whether I've got a lot or a little, I am famine or feast. I've learned the secret of facing all circumstances in Christ Jesus. And that's why he said in verse 13 of Philippians 4, I can do all things. Because I've learned the secret. I can do it through Christ. This is accomplished through Christ. Your joy is accomplished through, your joy in the midst of trials is accomplished through Christ. Through Christ means through his strength, through his wisdom, through his majesty, through Christ, his abilities, his power, his might. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was talking to my nephew yesterday about a synergistic work. Going through a trial is a synergistic work. He gives you the strength, the power, and things to do it, but you got to go through it. He sets the hammer down, the nails and the lumber. He sets it down. It's up to you to pick it up, put the hammer on and start hammering. He's not going to stick it in your hand and force you to do it. Synerg. Erg is energy. Effort. Strenuous zeal. Sin comes from like symphony where there's two exerting. God exerts by giving you the things that you need. You exert by using what God has given. But the good news is, it's God who's given. You're using God's power. It's God's hammer. They're God's nails. It's God's wood. He's provided, all your needs. Amen. According to his riches. Wow, we just read that.
Hallelujah.
Does that now come together?
Hallelujah.
We always want to talk about money and things are getting something. How about supplying the need when you're going through hell in your life?
Amen.
Family looking all crazy. You're like, what the world do I do with this? He supplies the need. He supplies, what things do we need? Wisdom, first and foremost. How do I deal with this crazy person? They just went ziggity boom at 3 a.m. and hung up the phone. I'm trying to sleep and they going crazy. What do I do with this? Wisdom. He supplies strength. He supplies endurance. It's a matter of us, are we going to use the gifts that the energy of God has supplied for us? When you do, when I do, when we do, we can say with Apostle Paul, hey, I've learned a secret. I've learned a secret of facing any and all circumstances, being filled, going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things. I'm ready for anything through the anointed one. He said, through Christ, the anointed one, who strengthens and empowers and enables me. And then we talk about that we are to come to terms with it. Instead of fighting it and all of this, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. You can make it through this. I'm with you, right in the fire with you. Remember that song? I'm in the fire with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm right there with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Trials produce that which God has designed it to produce. Mm-hmm. You could liken trials to a seed that's placed in the ground. God has already, lack of a better term, pre-coated that seed. Let's say it's produced an apple tree. You place that seed in the ground, and as that seed has been pre-programmed, that's a good word, because each seed is like a little computer. God has pre-programmed it, placed it in the ground, and what's in that seed is the ability to interact with the soil that surrounds it, light, the sun, and the water, and out of that will come a tree. That's the fruit it bears. It was designed to produce apples. The seed was designed to produce apples. Trials are like a seed. They're designed to produce endurance. They're designed to produce strength. They're designed to produce character. They're designed to produce perseverance. So when that seed is planted, if you will, in our lives, and it interacts with our lives, and we maintain strength by the power of God to go through that trial, then we'll get the fruit of what it's designed to produce, of what it's designed to do. Does that make sense? Look at Romans chapter 5. I think we went over this last time too, but that's good. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult, rejoice. Glory in our tribulations. We're rejoicing in our tribulations, trials, testings, troubles, sufferings, hardships, comma. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Sounds a lot like James. Why? Same Holy Spirit. James says, count it all joy when you fall into various kinds of trials because knowing this. You have to have the knowledge.
Yes, sir.
Or else you're out here wondering, why me? Woe is me. Why, God, why? When, God, when? And that's what we come out of. The church we come out of was all of why, God, why, when, God, when. Amen? That's a miserable life. April don't know nothing about that. You blessed. When you blessed to have to unlearn that junk. Because it's a life of misery. Why, God, why? When is this going to be over? Why is this happening to me? Do you realize who you are? No, not really. Do you realize who he is? No, not really. Do you see your sinfulness versus his holiness? And you're wondering why? It's why not? Doesn't it happen more? We get sick every once in a while. We ought to get sick every day. We ought to be in the most horrific pain every day. And yet and still, I've enjoyed some of the greatest 8 days of my entire existence. That's when y'all be asking God, why? When? Why, God, why? Why? Because I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be in Phoenix with my nephew with some of the bluest skies ever seen by my eyes. Some of the most perfect weather. Glory be to God. That's his grace, not payment. It's never payment, y'all. Never. That's why we're so ungrateful as a church. I'm not talking about that word of life per se. Because when you don't, I like to think here we're more grateful than most because we're taught the sovereignty of God. We're taught the sinfulness of man. We're taught the holiness of God. And we're taught our sinfulness versus his holiness. We're taught, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And when we sin, we deserve to die. Not cease beautiful blue skies and enjoy a meal with your nephew. We don't deserve it. And then he has the nerve to say, you know, I'm going to take you and I'm going to give you troubles, but I'm going to use troubles for your favor to produce my glory in you. Mm-hmm. He got the nerve to do that. He could just say, you ought to just let you have troubles because you deserve the troubles. But I'm even going to let the troubles even that you deserve be a benefit to you still. Glory. Somebody ought to say amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to let the troubles that you do deserve still be a benefit to you spiritually, which is the greatest benefit possible.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
That's a merciful God. That's a wonderful, merciful Savior. Mm-hmm. He's sweet, I know, as the song says. Mm-hmm. So, understanding this, verse 3 again, he said, we rejoice and exult and we glory in our tribulations and trials and hardships and sufferings, knowing that our tribulation brings about perseverance, endurance, and steadfastness. Verse 4. And perseverance, endurance, and steadfastness brings about proven character. Okay, now we get into the second benefit here. One is a stick-to-itiveness, to stay in there the whole way. The second one is proven character. I have here in my notes, proven character, that which is known to be true or genuine. That would preach. That which is known to be true or genuine. It's known. What are you saying? I'm saying that your lifestyle is of such a proven character that you are known, your life is known to be real and genuine. Mm-hmm. Oh, that dude right there, that's the real deal right there. That's a man of God, that's a woman of God. Yeah, I know her. I ain't saying they perfect, we, you know, we ain't going that route, but I tell you what, I tell you that's a real Christian. It ought to be known, but you know, trials and tribulations is gonna produce that. It's gonna prove your character, whether it is real or not. The old school, is it live or Memorex, was the old tape thing back in the day. Amen. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians' lives proved to be Memorex. They're not the real thing. You just sound like it, but you're just a piece of plastic and some tape being played in a machine. You're not the real thing. Troubles produce character that can be proven, that's genuine and real. I always said, I don't know about a person yet. Let me see them go through fire, hardships. Then I'll make an assessment as to whether or not they are true, real, genuine people of God. Because he says here, it produces proven character. That which is known. I love that word, known. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. If you're doing it before men and they're seeing, then you ought to be known to be true or genuine. In the sense of being what it appears to be. What do you appear to be? And you, if you appear to be, and you really are what you appear to be, then you're true and genuine. So that which is known to be true or genuine in the sense of being what it appears to be. Well, he appears to be a Christian. She appears to be one, but I'm not sure. Well, troubles and hardships and suffering will bring it out. Yep, I'm sure. They either are or they are not. Evidence, proof of genuineness. It proves your character. Evidence, proof of genuineness and proven character and hope. He said proven character. So It produces tribulation. I'm sorry, tribulation produces perseverance, verse 4, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have a hope that does not disappoint.
Thank you, Lord.
King James says, make it not ashamed. It means does not disappoint. And here it is, because the love of God,
yes, Lord,
has been already done, finished, completed action, poured out, not just dripped out, poured out to overflowing into our where hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So we ought to be the greatest lovers in the world.
Amen.
That's why we need to be beat when we're not, to be honest with you. And we're not to let even ethnic unrest, ethnicism and things of that nature come in and just tear us all up to where we're not loving anymore.
Okay.
Got to keep our glasses on. Keep them on in Jesus' name. Now, we're talking about trials, troubles, hardships, producing perseverance, endurance, steadfastness, proven character, proves your character, whether or not you're real or not. So then, having said that, the only way to get those results is how? Go through them. Somebody said, heard somebody say, go through them.
Yeah.
You got to go through. Well, yeah, that's simple. Yeah, but hear that. You say, well, that's simple. Yeah, but you're still trying to get out of every single trouble you're in the middle of. You say, yeah, that's simple. Yeah, it is simple, but if you're not doing it, well, you're not hearing me. You're not hearing the Lord. You trying to get nine jobs. You're going for nine job interviews. You've been on a job 1 week.
I don't know who did that.
Some guy walked through here, told us that story some time ago. Because that's exactly what I did. But I thank God for helping me, nephew. He helped me. Because he shut every door. Yeah. Said, no, you ain't going nowhere. I got to help your raggedy self. Because you're raggedy. And that's worse than raggedy. When you got raggedy with G's, it's not as bad as R-A-C-K-E-R-T-Y. Rackety. And that's where I was. so he had to just say, you know what, fool? You know James 1, 2, and 3. But you are so weak and sorry that I got to come in and help you, which I think he did. I got to shut the doors. I got to cause you to argue with the interviewer. You ain't going to ever get a job arguing with the people trying to give you a job. But that's what he had to do. It was some crazy things going on. He shut every door. Because the only way to get the results, y'all, is to go through it. I understand that. Amen. You got to go through it. There's no way I am who I am today as a husband and a father and a pastor. There's no way that I am who I am today without the troubles. Blanchette was golden. Never want to go through it again, but it was invaluable. The only way is through. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 13. The only way is through. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Remember we said embrace it, submit to it, quit fighting it. That's my peace, Miss Cheryl, came. I don't know, y'all heard this so many times, but just bear with me, just to prove, show the point. I know what I'm talking about experientially. I had a rough morning at Blanchette, and I went all on my job interviews, pounding glass. It probably was on there 2 or 3 weeks now. And the morning was over, so it's now lunchtime. Now, Blanchette is, the lockers are on the top floor of
The boys' lockers are on the top floor, on the next floor. They're not on the main floor. So there's two flights of stairs to get to the locker.
In the gym.
Thank you. So I'm trying to say this for those who don't know that. So you're in the gym, and you go through. So there's one flight, then there's a landing, and you turn around and go up the second flight, and then you make a right to go into to where my office is. So the morning was over. Bear with me. And I'm trudging up the stairs. The only thing was lacking was this music here. Dun, 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 dun. I literally go on the stairs like that. I'm not exactly. I would just
drag.
Yeah, that was a very hard job, especially in the beginning. But you know what? As I'm teaching you, I'm learning too, because I was fighting it, made it harder. Mm-hmm. I'm a living witness. When the Word of God says, "Let have," when we talked about that last week, allow it to happen. Don't fight it. I'm fighting. I'm on every job interview. And it was harder. It was going to be hard, but it was harder when I was fighting. Mm-hmm. So make sure I get to that top, I get to that landing before I go to the second flight. And I just, my numbers bombing. Oh, boy. And then the Lord spoke. He said, "You've always run from conflict. You've always run from conflict. Things have gotten hard, you've always run." He said, "And you tried running even on this." He said, "But I've shut every door. You're not going anywhere. I'm going to make a man out of you." Mm-hmm. Now, at that point is where the lesson comes in. I submitted to the trial.
Thank you, Lord.
I said I embraced it right away, but I submitted to it. But he had to make me smile. I thank God he twisted my arm. So as I stood there like, here it is. So when I trudged up, I didn't have no great burst of energy going up the second half of the stairs either, but there was the realization came crashing in. I mean, crashing in. Wow. I'm here. There's nothing I can do. I got a 16-year-old driving to eighth grade. And driving to middle school, 16 years old. There was no discipline. It was the worst case scenario ever. You know, when you say, you know, if this was, yeah, that would be bad. But if what about if it was A and B? Yeah, that'd be worse. What about A, B, and C? Man, that'd be the worst. I had A, B, and C. It was a substitute teacher who had no discipline. It'd great to have been a sub with some discipline at least. Then I could come in and kind of follow there. But it was a sub, no discipline, and I came in the middle of the year. So those are three worst things. So they had gotten used to doing, being undisciplined. It was a sub who was weak. I'm in the middle of the year, so I got to try to scramble on the fly and implement all these, which was just not really what happened. You know, when a girl talked to you, "Man, come here, man. Tell me to come here, man." I said, "What have I stepped into? Come here, man." Wow. I'm like, what is going on? So I'm being talked to like that by girls. And then I see a father slap his daughter like a grown man and knock her sideways. I mean, he slapped her so hard, she went sideways into the building. It was going to the, so I'm seeing just a whole range of craziness. And I go home, I got on my knees and cried. I said, "What have you got me into? What is this?" You know, I'm like, you know, so it's like you go from being selfish about, "I don't want to be here. No, this ain't for me. This, that, and the other," to like, hold a minute. What's going on here? Where am I? Why am I here? You start to think beyond you. So you got to get out of yourself, Word of Life, people of God. You got to get beyond yourself. To live is Christ. We just went over that outside. To live Christ. It's not about you, Greg.
What about the girl that just got slapped by her father like a grown man? What about the girl that needs to learn respect to grown people? It's dark where you are. I have placed you there on purpose to teach, to mentor, to love, to hug, to touch. Teachers, administrators, parents, and students. Like, wow. I need your help. I've been so selfish, I don't know how to. Then you put Pastor Rodney L.T. Pearson. The Lord switched his, he did it just for me. He switched his hours from morning to afternoon. So he didn't go to work till like 3:30 or 4. So every lunch hour, I came home and called him to get some sort of direction on how to love seemingly unlovable people. I would trudge through the morning, go home, because I wanted to just get out the whole atmosphere. I only lived a few minutes away. And I would go right to the phone and call. Give me advice, I'd take it and go back to the house. I said, man, I'm going. He said, I'm determined. He said, don't go determined. He said, just go. Uh-oh. See, that's where wisdom comes in. And see, from that conversation is where I get to grit your teeth anointing. Because I'm probably, it was probably naturally speaking, I'm gritting my, I'm going to do this. No, you're not. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. He said, no, don't go determined. He said, just go. Like, slow your roll, big fella. Slow your roll. Just calm down. But at least I heard the word enough and got counsel, spiritual advice to be raring to go. So it was starting to, you know what I'm saying? Your strength and your growth happens over time. I was there for 9 years. So it happens over time, word of life. You know, we want things to happen microwave fast. We live in a microwave mentality type society. That was all butchered, but you know what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. We live in that, and it's not microwave. Everything is crock pot. It's slow, a slow boil. Maybe 8.5 hard, difficult years. 9 years or 11 years, 10, 11 years of just being in the crucible, the fire. But God is doing the work. He's growing you up. He's growing me up. He grew me up. And I stepped right out of that fire, right into the pulpit. The bigger fire, if you want to know the truth, but well prepared for it. It proves your character. You will learn about you. You'll learn how genuine you really are. If you're honest with yourself, if you examine yourself with and by and because of the power of the Holy Spirit, you will learn about you. Like, man, I'm not as strong as I know. You know, did I know I was running from things? Not really, because I just ran from it. I felt good. Cool, I ain't got to deal with that. That was my thinking. But you can't be no passive runner from conflict, because you're going to just run into conflict all the time. Your whole quote-unquote career, you're going to run into conflict. Conflict with society, conflict with the membership, because you're trying to guide folks and lead them in the things of God, help them to maintain godly living. You can't be a successful pastor running from conflict. Well, he knew that. I didn't even know I was running from conflict. Thank God he knows me better than I know myself. And so he designed, here we go again, he specifically designed Blanchette for me so that my character would be proven to myself first and foremost and then to others. That I would finally learn to stick with it, to persevere, to endure, to be steadfast, fixed, immovable. Founding in the things of God. It takes time for that seed to grow. If the child is a seed planted in your life, it's going to take time to produce in your life what he wants it to produce. It's going to take time. What must we do in the beginning? Submit to it and eventually embrace it. I submitted to it and eventually I embraced it. And it was hard all 9 years. Never got any easier. Never did. I knew how to handle it better. Not that it got any easier. How to maneuver. You just know how to maneuver. Fights, gangbangers, butcher knife carrying, girl opened up her Parker. Back in the day, they called them Parkers back in the day with the fur on the collar. So Mr. Harris, she had butcher knives of various lengths in each pocket on the inside. She was a seventh grader. So Mr. Harris, I got enemies. Wow. You got enemies in the seventh grade? You got carry knives in both pockets of your Parker? Lord have mercy. Sometimes I pray with folks on the spot. I violated all the rules. I didn't care. He's my employer. I touch and hug everybody.
Yes, sir.
I did. When the showers were right, I let them take showers. I just get a stack of passes. Didn't have a hot shower in how long? So they would get their first hot shower in maybe some months would be in gym. So I just let them stay in there as long as they're going to be late. Here your late pass. Just get a pack, back, stack of passes. I'm not going to rush them out of there. Education just secondary. It was nothing about education. It's about caring for the soul of that person, caring for the person themselves. There's great benefit. There's great joy in submitting. I talk about Blanche with great joy because he empowered me to go through it. The benefit has been tremendous. And it set me up for other things, like having to preach Mama's funeral. Man, that's the last place I wanted to be that day. Oh my goodness. I wanted to stay seated next to my wife and just have my arms around her, not in the pulpit. And man, you're talking about shaking in your boots. Jesus is Lord. You're talking about a sudden death of a vibrant, full of life, big personality, saint of God. Her sudden departure left a gaping hole in the family. I just wanted to sit with the family and just be there for them. But the assignment was, you go in the pulpit. Go in there shaking, I don't care how you do it. Your behind need to be in that pulpit, saith the Lord. And he helped me. Because the Crouch Sisters from Buffalo sang a song. Excuse my rerun testimony, but they sang a song that set me up real good. And that is, if it had not been, Oh, bless the name of the Lord. For the Lord on my side, where would I be? That set me up. It was a perfect song at the time. I almost ran up in that pulpit. Just not wanting to go. To just in that moment, he spoke through me. Man, I'm on your side. You all right, dude. Let's go. Thank you, Jesus. Perseverance produces strength of character. Character that can easily be seen. Character that is known. Character that is real and genuine. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But you got to go through it. See, Blanchette got me through Mama's funeral. Because you don't run. You sit there and say, Lord, okay, here we go. And it's not about how you feel. You may feel like not doing anything. Just ignore that is what point I'm making. But what I'm saying is don't fall apart because you're feeling that way. That's the point. Here's the point I'm making. You're going to feel sometimes. Jesus said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't wasn't just ready to just, I mean, he was ready, but I'm saying it was tough to just embrace the pain he's about to go through. And more importantly, being separated from God and all the sin of the world laid on him. We can't even imagine how horrible that was. So I want to encourage you that if you're shaking and you're crying even and you really don't want to do it, it's okay, but do it.
Amen.
Temptation said, dry your weeping eye and you go on home where you belong. Don't be a runaway child running wild. He said, okay, I don't know about that one. Amen, amen. You don't be a runaway child. Don't be God's runaway child. Running wild. Go back and tell him what he told you to do. I think this is a good practical teaching for those who may say, well, what about if I'm afraid of what I didn't feel right? They can't go by that. Feel any way you want to feel. Just don't let your feelings stop you from doing what God. Because God wanted to speak through me to the Crouch family. And we spoke on honoring her life, her legacy, with godly living. You really want to do something? Honor her life, then live right before God. That was the gist of it. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10, did I tell you that? Mm-hmm. Verse 13. Mm-hmm. No temptation has overtaken you, such as is common to man. That means you are not going through a trial that no other human being has ever gone through. You're not going through a trial that is so unique to humanity that you're the first one ever. Because sometimes, and I'm not knocking at cancer, it's pain, lupus and muscular dystrophy and the sudden death of a loved one. And those are painful things. But he's trying to get you a little stability in your thinking. And don't feel like nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Yes, we do know. He's saying that song is not biblical. Because it said there is no temptation, no suffering, no hardship, no trouble that you're going through except everybody else has gone through it. Some way, shape, or form. It's common to man. Many folk have loved ones die suddenly. Many folk have cancer. Many folk have been in prison. Many folk have been beaten or robbed or raped or molested and all those other things. Many have. So he said, first of all, don't get into the nobody knows, because then you get off into depression and those sort of things. When he said, no, I'm still with you. Remind you what you've gone through, others have gone through and come out successfully.
Amen.
I'm with you. Yes, I'm with you in that fire. I'm with you in the water. There is another. There will always be another in the water. Another. There will always be another in the fire. Always. He said, I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. Behold, lo, check this out. I'm going to be with you all the time. Every time. There will never be a time I won't be with you. Even until the end of this age. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, tested, tried, hardships, troubles, beyond what you are able. Able what? To bear. Comma. But with the temptation, will provide the way to escape also, period. Nothing else after? Okay, somebody is listening. All right, that's your sense. Yeah, April had the crazy look. I'll look for everybody else to do that same thing. Did y'all read? Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yeah, I said, preacher that, no. Right, that's not a period there because the way to escape makes sound like it's over. In the 21st English interpretation of the word escape, it's over. But a first century Greek word doesn't mean escape, run away from it and be done with it. Escape doesn't mean escape in that sense. Escape here means to, like a foxhole, to drop down and get a respite, a little rest from the battle. And then you climb back up and join the battle again. And then the rest of the verse makes sense so that you will be able to endure it. He gives you breaks. And he gave me breaks, said Blanchett. He gave me breaks. Thank you, Lord. When it's a long drawn out, you get breaks so that you may be able to endure it and come on through it. But the only way, notice though, that you may be able to endure it means to go through it. That's why I brought you here. The only way to get results that God wants for your life from this trial is to go through it. And I'm going to help you go through it because I'm going to give you breaks. I'm going to give you breaks here and breaks there. And we must learn to do that and understand that. And also, when we're going through it, we need to learn to trust God. As we're going through it, trust our Heavenly Father. Trust Him. The Lord Jesus trusted His Father. Let's be at that example. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Man, the time flies. Wow. 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. I will say this and we'll read this and we'll close. Man, that flew. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Well, what is the example that he left for us? Committed no sin. Neither was there any deceit or guile found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he did not offer insult in return. Verse 23, while suffering, he uttered no threats, here we go, but kept entrusting himself, present tense, he kept over and over, entrusting himself to him who is God, his Father, who judges righteously. He just kept turning himself over, God, you got me. God, you got me. You got me. I'm in the fire, you got me. They treat me wrong, you got me. They're scorning my name as evil. They're insulting me. I'm suffering. They are dismissing me. I forgot the term to be standoffish from you and to put you off in the corner. I forgot the word. But, you know, they're ostracizing you. Yeah. They're ostracizing me. They are hating me. They're scorning my name as evil. And Lord, I'm just going to turn myself over to you. I'm not going to go seek vengeance against them. I'm going to copy Jesus, who, when he was insulted, when he was suffering, he kept entrusting himself. It's like I'm going to put my hands, myself, into your hand, into your care. And your hands, let me do this on it, is way better than Allstate. Way better. Amen. Now, that's a conscious decision, Word of Life, as we close. It's a conscious decision. While you're suffering, people are saying crazy things about you. They don't understand you. They're scorning your name as evil. They're hating you. You must make a conscious, deliberate decision to say, Father God, I'm putting myself in your hands. And technically speaking, I'm already in there, but just a thought of just doing that to help keep your mind right. Yeah, it's an act of surrender. Thank you. I'm placing myself in your hands. And I know you are going to judge righteously. Me, I'll do it in an unrighteous manner because I'm mad because they're talking about me and I'm tired. They say one more thing to me, this Christian ship is gonna come off like a tie, and we gonna have real problems then. These collars do come off, the ties come off, the suit coat come off. But see, you don't want to go there. So you got to trust yourself. Keep trusting, Miss Cheryl. Keep trusting. Keep trusting, yeah. You say, well, how many times I got to trust? Until he take it away. What you going to do, kill the person? I mean, in reality, you may want to, but in reality, you got to just... Yeah. Sister Rolanda, great testimony. I mean, just bore up under it for 10 years at least.
It was
13 years. 13 years. 13 years is a long time. Everybody's all over your shoulder, breathing all in your ear, down your throat. Like, man, will you back up off me? You almost wish COVID was going on then and she couldn't come within 6 feet. That probably wasn't right. So pray for my nephew. You both keep praying. I'm going to say it sometimes. I mean, oh, Lord. Help me today. But you just won't relieve. Will you please back up off me? It's like one thing through my third closing, but you know, it's like, man, at least have one thing that's good. You couldn't let the principal be a good person. No, that dude was, well, I don't know about your tenure, Mr. Harris. We may have to, like, I'm like, whoa, you going after my tenure? Wow. You put 3 classes in the gym room and I'm supposed to teach all of them with a lesson plan? You got 75 people in the gym and only one teacher? The other teacher is at the early stages of Alzheimer's? So I'm teaching both sides and you expect me to, I'm like, wow. I don't know who talking about getting my union rep, you know, because there are natural things you can't do that the Lord says, no, okay, hold on, they're not going to do that to you. Use your natural means. And I told my union rep, he said, don't say no, don't go back in there without this, because I didn't know I'm a new teacher. So when God want a train of them coming, hey, bow down to it. You deal with it godly, right? Stay godly in how you deal with it, but don't give in, don't offer, don't be overcome
with evil,
but overcome evil with good.
Amen,
Amen, Ms. Cheryl. Because there's your Father is well pleased when we maintain, not only just say or begin righteous, but when we maintain a godly behavior throughout the trial. Because that's where the challenge is. You good on this day, but then all hell break out the next day. Like, oh Lord, I gotta act right again? But now notice what I said. You can do your natural means, earthly means of doing things. Like if a coworker is, you can't go to a manager or the supervisor. Now, it was okay for me to go to my union rep, my president, you know, and ask, hey, what's going on here? And he said, hey, don't, you know, and they advise you. And make sure their advice is godly too. It could be just protocol, which is fine. Still acknowledge God in all your ways. But see, the fight is to maintain godliness,
yes,
for his glory, because it's not about you.
And
you know, when something's going on all this time, 13 years and how many years, and concentrated, working side by side, when it's that in concentrated doses, we can slip into making it all about us.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's a real threat, because we're human. But we're spirit beings first. If we're working on not recognizing our flesh, ourselves according to the flesh.
Yeah.
Remember our supreme identity.
Yeah.
But the spirit first, then we're like, okay, well, first and foremost, if I'm spirit, then the live is Christ. It's all about him. So it's a matter of making sure you're getting healthy checkups in your mind. Keep checking your mind attitude. Let this attitude be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. For we have the mind of Christ. So keep checking your attitude. Keep checking your mind. As you get closer to the job, as you drive and you start to feel, oh Lord, I got to go in here again. Because I had that. You just keep checking your mind. Okay, Lord, get my mind right. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You're my rock. You're the steady one, not this person. Glory be to God. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus be standing up for you just like he did Stephen. Yes, she is suffering for my name. And bearing up under it Christianly, manfully. And he's promised you, I got some good things for you.
Thank you, Lord.
We got to remember that. Father God, help us to remember that you got good things for us. And I thank God here we've learned not to say things. Ooh, I mean money and cars and just status and fame. No, how about spiritual growth? How about being able to persevere under a trial rather than cussing somebody out when the trial starts after 2 minutes? How about the desire to maintain godly character? How about developing a real, genuine character that's known by all to be true and real and genuine? How about a light really shining in the darkness that others are seeing that light and giving God glory?
Amen.
That's what these trials are designed to produce, Father. You'll establish us, you'll confirm us, you'll strengthen us, and you'll settle us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.